On this episode of Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are sharing some of our beer and bourbon adventures as we hunt for some rare ones, get delivery, and then we toast to Argus as they had announced that they had to shut down this past week. And so we share some memories, some stories, and just talk about our experience with that crew. All that and more on this episode. Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. Every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw!
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You gotta take in all those big, aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
No guests this week, but we're continuing our remote stay-at-home, shelter-in-place podcasting.
Yeah, man. I dig it, man. You know, we got the video going, so it's kind of fun. I kind of feel like you're not drinking alone. Right. Kind of cool.
Yeah, it's always nice to all these virtual happy hours and hangouts people are doing. So it's not too bad.
How's the sound, man? How's it all sounding?
Yeah, I think it sounds good. It looks good here. Looks good on the level. So no complaints. I think the episodes have been pretty good. We've had Bob from the Beer Beaster on the last one. We had Black Lung Brewing on a previous one. So these are fun little episodes we're doing.
I like that, man. And then it gives us a chance to catch up with folks and then actually learn or reminisce. Well, you know, hearing the stories with Bob McDermott about, you know, how the Three Floyds dinners came together and what were some of his favorite memories of the bistro and, you know, just walking down memory lane. That was good. But then actually like learning about the Chano Lakes area with Black Lung, you know, actually learning about something new was cool, too. So. You know, we're taking advantage of the quarantine, man. It's been nice.
Yeah, I think we've got some messages out to, like, Eric Hobbs, who's over at Salamoth, Cider yeah. Bob, who's Kombucha Bob now.
You know, he was Revolution Bob for a hot second, yeah. too.
I should hit up Tom Corder. We should find out what's happening at Penrose, because that's just a spot we never make it to.
I think I've been maybe twice in my whole life. And he's a good hang, mm-hmm. you know. He was famously John Lackley's boss when they were running the barrel program at
That's
Goose.
That's right, yeah. You know? All right, I'll have to message him after we finish here and see if he's down.
Yeah, I'd like to hear what's going on.
But currently, what are you drinking?
Man, right now I have my Chicago Bulls pint glass, I'm going with No Standby, man, Fist City, which you know is still always a fun can too.
Nice. But I've got some more. What is this? The Sketchbook Insignificant Clearance.
There you go.
Hazy IPA. I think this was my last can of it. I think I had it on the episode a few weeks ago. So yeah, I'm digging this.
Yeah, Fist City is an old standby, and I think it's one of the few packaged beers that actually features like a Chicago statue. On the south side.
Oh, like, that's right. Okay.
Whatever this lady's name is, you know, and there's a story on the side. I won't bore you with that. But anyway, she's from the World's Fair. She greeted people to the World's Fair, and there's a replica of that statue, just gigantic gold statue at the back of Jackson Park right behind the Museum of Science and Industry. It's actually a pretty cool detour, man. Tons of lagoons and a good cruise. Like if, you know, you just want to cruise Lakeshore Drive, that's a good turnaround point to come back north.
Okay. Good to know. Yeah. Nice. So you got your Chicago Bulls glass. Where you watch the first two parts?
Man, I was front and center, man. I think I watched that shit a few times, man.
Oh, nice. Okay.
You know, it was funny because I never saw Scottie Pippen college highlights. You know, he went to Central Arkansas to some, the, you know, Division II school. I never saw him play in college. That was fun. And then, but, you know, my favorite part was, like, you know, seeing those young Mike highlights. He had the little short haircut. He had the little two gold chains, and they were doing a lot of his highlights to Rakim, Eric B. and Rakim. I ain't no joke. So that visual with those sounds just kind of really blew me, man. That
put
was great.
Put you in the place, or put you in the, like, the time period. Nice.
So good, man. I can't wait.
I loved the title for Barack Obama that was in there. It was former Chicago resident, because, you know, that's what he's known for.
That's a good one. You know, I don't know if they sold his place, but I remember last summer, if you go to Hyde Park and you drive by the block that he lives on, it's still locked down presidential style, like big, gigantic, you know, concrete barricades. You can't get in unless you're, like, you know, live on the block.
Yeah.
You know,
I think they sold it, but I don't know. They might still have it, but just, yeah, they don't. They live in D.C. still. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. Nice.
Long time ago when we were fab.
Yeah.
long ago, man. That was fun. That was fun. I can't wait.
So you were out and about getting whiskey today, huh? Bourbon, whiskey?
Yeah, you know, and it's like, I'm not, first of all, no one gives you 6 feet, you know. And then a lot of the places I go, the staff, they're not even wearing masks. They're not wearing masks or gloves. They're just kind of talking to you as if, like, it's a that's kind of from the top, because I've been to like 4 or 5 locations, you know, and no one's doing it. So,
oh, weird.
And that's kind of gross. I don't know. I can't, you know, me personally, it sucks wearing a mask. You know, I got fucking asthma. This thing, I feel like this thing's all over my face. I don't like it. Like, someone's got their hand on my face. But you know what? I wear one every single time I'm out. I wear one. So it's like, you know, fuck all you guys. You know, thank you. I'll take the bourbon, you know, and also fuck you guys, you know.
That's too bad. I have not ventured out to too many places. I gotta, I think, pick up cat litter this weekend, so that'll be my first, like, one in a while of, like, actually seeing somebody else.
So you're getting your supermarket on?
I just need to go to the pet store. Supermarket's been all delivery, so that's easy enough. So, but yeah, the pet store now. I don't, can't get cat litter, or you can. It's just, like, kind of ridiculous when it's right there, right? So I haven't experienced this no mask shopping or anything like that too much.
It's pretty lame. I think the cool part is you're starting to see, if you chat with, you know, because I have a face shield and a face mask, like we were saying in a pre-show, and I got the gloves and, you know, the hand sanitizer. Oh, but if you have a talk with a staff member, they'll tell you that they're kind of taking the route of the bars, where they're unleashing a lot of their cool stuff and just kind of, like, you know, things are, they're having stuff that typically you don't see out available for purchase because of the situation.
Right. So, they want to get people in there. They want to get, you know, any kind of money possible.
Yeah. So that's an interesting development. And then, yeah, I think just collecting whiskey has just kind of been like a little, well, you know, it's always been a part of the beer world, but I think I've kind of gravitated towards that being like my main fun lately.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's no restaurants, so you're not spending as much money out and about. So it's like, I feel like everyone who is still working is finding themselves with, like, oh, I have some extra money to buy stuff.
I'm not cabbing it downtown every single day, because yeah. I'm to cabs now. Oh, all right, cool. Maybe I can treat myself to some. Yeah. Some of it's that too, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I did have some beer delivered today that showed up. I ordered from On Tour over the weekend. They deliver, I believe it's Tuesday through Thursday. So I ordered on Sunday and it showed up today. They do curbside drop-off delivery. So the person just phoned me up when he was here. He's like, hey, it's outside. And he kind of, like, waited around a minute to see me, like, open the door. And he said, yep. Oh, here you go. I was like, thanks. And then that was it.
So, right on.
It's nice. I got 2 6-packs, and then they're also brewing. I think they're brewing, but they were at least selling the Luna Bay kombucha.
So, oh, right on. Luna Bay. They're a graduate of the pilot project program. They started there, right?
Yeah, they did. So I'm excited to try that because I don't know if I had it when we were there. I don't know, like a few months ago. I don't know,
yeah,
probably like 3 months ago. It wasn't even that long ago.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm excited to try that. I also grabbed a couple glasses from them just to like support them, and I'm like, oh, I can never have too many glassware, right?
Yeah.
That's Nick's motto.
She gets out of hand quick, man. Cheers to Maplewood. Stop by there. They had the Morbidly Obese Pug. Grab some of that, and then Crowler. And of course, Half Acre. They have their latest IPA on. Trials of Color.
Nice. Okay.
7.5% IPA. I butchered that name though.
How has like Maplewood's pickups, you know, they're known for having these big beer releases with lots of people. Have you gone and there's been like lots of people hanging out?
Half Acre is a riot of color. Sorry, double IPA.
Oh, riot of color.
Super fun. A lot of pine, like pine grassiness, a little herbal. Like it wasn't like a juice bomb or anything. It was really fun flavors. Oh, the Maplewood, man. You know, I think we ordered and the pickup time was an hour after we ordered. So we showed up, you know, at that time and they were just a little bit behind. So maybe like 10 minutes.
Okay.
So, you know, cause you know, they're doing caviar, they're doing, you know, whoever, another service. So I think we just went and got gas around the corner, came back and then boom, it was ready, you know, okay. But yeah, there's some. You know, everything sorted by alphabetically. But then if you didn't place a pre-order, you can go down the alley and then the garage is up. So then you can do a drive-through. It's a drive-through.
You could just, so you're like in your car and you're just like, hey, I'll take some juice pants and plastic and pills. Let's go.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I enjoyed that a lot. Yeah.
I'm sad I haven't taken advantage of it because I'm worried by the time I'm going to, we may see it go away, right?
Yeah. And then, you know, at Half Acre was cool because they sold coffee in the gift shop. So you can get 2 bags of Unicorn Blood with your order of IPA.
Nice.
So
I have been ordering a lot of coffee because that's all that like, gets delivered really quickly, and it's usually the mail or UPS. So I ordered from a 4-letter word. That's you know, wine. They're in the plant, or they.
Yeah, I think
Rhea,
so.
Rhea, who is part owner of Winer, has 4-letter word coffee that she started out in Turkey, and you know it's also here now. So I ordered coffee from them. I ordered coffee from Dark Matter, and then I ordered some Metric coffee. So I like have, I don't know, like 8 pounds of coffee going on here. You're hoarding bourbon, I'm hoarding coffee.
I hear you, man. I definitely have a AM blend and a PM blend.
Okay.
Yeah,
of coffee, so, or just drink?
No, coffee.
Oh, okay.
Right. So like, you know, whatever I make in the morning, if I need a second cup, I make a different one. But yeah, two. I don't go 8. I go 2.
Oh, okay. I can't, you know, if this pandemic goes a long time, I don't want this coffee supply to dwindle. So I'm like, I'm just going to have a closet here of coffee beans.
Dude, you grind at home?
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
Those whole beans, you know, they can last for a while. Cool.
Yeah. Speaking of the Bulls real quick on the Half Acre side, Dark Matter side. If you donate to like one of the local restaurants, you get on a list to buy the coffee that was in the United Center.
Oh,
so that's a cool program. You can donate to Dark Matter, or you can donate to another small business on the list, and then you can buy coffee that was not originally for sale at the location. And I really dug that, so that was cool.
Oh, nice. What blend is it? Do you like just special?
You know, they do. I know. It doesn't taste like a Love Supreme or like Unicorn Blood or, you know, or what was it, Giant Steps? It doesn't taste like those. But it doesn't really get on the bag. Doesn't really get into specifics on what it is, though.
Oh, interesting. That's fine. I bet they had all that coffee there. They're like, we got to get rid of this.
It was on the bag says 4.2. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what blend it is though.
That's cool.
Now I kind of want to know.
That's a fun little thing that they're doing. Yeah, everyone's just got to liquidate it all.
Yeah, I mean, Hop Leaf? They have these plastic growlers, and then they have this one-day cash-only thing coming up next week where it's like 64-ounce growlers of with some very affordable pricing. You can get like, you know, a growler of zombie dust for like 10 bucks.
Oh, so they're just trying to get rid of their kegs then.
I mean, you come into a point where it's like, shit, you know, two, three months go by, and you're like, well, man, I gotta do something, right? Mm-hmm. I think this is month two, so yeah, they're letting it fly.
Right, because then there was a article today, what Lightfoot said, we're probably gonna get stay at home till end of May. So if you're any kind of restaurant or bar that was hoping, yeah, you probably, if you didn't like cap those lines or take them off, you might as well just get rid of that beer.
Yeah, and we had the the Bulldog folks. We had them on. Mm-hmm. They were saying like it's kind of not even cost effective to take a keg, and then depending on your bottling line, it's not cost effective to repackage it. And then there's a sanitary concern. So crews that have like, think about Fat Pour, right? And these fuckers got like 100, easy, near 100 taps, right?
Right.
It's like, you got some tough decisions to make, you know?
And that's what, you know, we wanted to talk about Argus on this episode here, because I think that was their problem that they ran into. All these bars and restaurants, you know, they were mostly keg sales. Yeah. You often didn't find their beer in the store unless you were on the south side.
Yeah, yeah.
And they are the first Chicago brewery to throw in the towel.
Man, a two-time World Beer Cup winner. And they brewed they brewed Bader Brow when they were there. And then they brewed when Five Rabbit won at GABF. They won a gold for their Five Lizard. Their spin on a wheat ale that was brewed at Argus, the batch that won. So yeah, they were brewing in the Chicago landmark. Man, I tell you something, man. When I lived in South Shore, and you know this, I mean, we had some fun times with the Argus crew, man. Like I'm kind of they were the crew that, I mean, in a lot of ways they were my favorite for a while, because I really fell for the story, the location, and you know, and really the guys that worked there, man. That was a good run. Like, that kind of sucks to see them.
Yeah, 10 years, and in a, you know, 5-week shutdown, that's it for that.
Right. This man, this is revealing that all of us are, well, many of us are, you know, even businesses are kind of like not really built to, you know, to be without a couple paychecks.
Right. Well, yeah, a business, you build a business to sell something and then you can't sell the thing. Oh yeah. You're not really a business.
Yeah. Like what do you do? Right. Like, you know, you're gonna have to start selling. Like my man would say, you got to start selling ass. You got to pivot and start selling your ass if you can't sell this beer or you close shop. So, yeah. I mean, but that's right off the train. You know, I always thought that they had an opportunity to set up shop somewhere at the end of that train line where Millennium Park is, right? I thought that was an untapped opportunity for them, because folks coming in from out of town, or even the Indiana line that goes all the way to like South Bend, Indiana, that train goes to Millennium. Like if you set it up properly and had a presence in Millennium Park and Buckingham Fountain and, you know, all those places, that you could have more traffic come down there because you can drink on the train.
You're right.
Yeah. If those things were up and running, and that's easy to say in hindsight, then, you know, you could have. And then if you were, if you had folks that could be there and have a walk-up presence a few days a week, things would have been different. But I don't think people were going. I don't think they were open to the public except for on weekends during the tour.
Right. It was about 6 months ago we were there recording an episode. And yeah. We were hanging out in the in this like bar area that they had that was, I think, just for the tours. Like it was set up for that. You weren't just showing up there. They did have a beer garden that wasn't open yeah. when we were there, right?
So they grow hops in the garden, and then it was that they do an Oktoberfest party there.
Okay.
And their Mars and the Argus Lager is one of the beers that won at World Beer Cup. But yeah, like you're saying, you walk in and there's kind of this office area where people can congregate. And then they're one of the few brew houses in the city that's on the second floor, right? And this is the old Schlitz horse stables, right? So it's a national landmark. But then you go upstairs and then there's an actual bar with a pool table. It's like a tap room. Mm-hmm. Not very big. I would say, you know, more than 10 people in there. It's getting a little crammed, right?
Yeah, it's like a larger Chicago bedroom size.
Yeah. And there's like four beers on draft and a bunch of old Schlitz and Argus memorabilia. But yeah. And that was it. So yeah, that's a difficult thing to pull off when, like you said, most of their stuff's kegs, and then kegs is the first thing to really get impacted on the sales mm-hmm. side. Yeah.
But yeah, we were there, what, 6 months ago? It was shortly after the Oktoberfest because we both got a bunch of beer. They gave us a stein to have. So, you know, and we talked about like their rebranding that they did about a year ago. And
yeah, I think it was
everything was just kind of seemed like, oh, okay, you guys have a plan now to like fix the ship. Yikes, it did. I don't know. I feel bad for them because it's had 10 years and it just never really got like cooking for them. I don't know. There was just something that was like missing from the story. Was cool. The branding was way better. Was it the location where you just can't convince people to drink your beer after maybe the missteps they had in the beginning? I don't know.
It's a difficult proposal to have people come and revisit your brand, right? Mm-hmm. Like if I was there, you know, 8-9 years ago and I had the Pegasus IPA and English IPA and the hops are really popping, right? Like it's as fresh as can be, a week old, and it's tasting amazing, right? But if I don't have that experience at one of these locations that they were making a house beer for, right? Or if you have one of their beers in a six pack and you didn't like it, right? And then they scrap the logo, scrap the brewmaster, and start the whole thing over again and actually start making consistently good beer, you may have lost too many people by that point, right?
Right.
It's tough.
But I don't know. You. This was your first story, was Argus, right? On
yeah,
Chicago I think Beer Geeks.
Definitely one of the first five. It was definitely in the first handful of stories that we did. And then I'm looking, just doing a quick browse, man. And I think we've done like 8 Argus stories over the years. It's like, and you know, the most interesting thing about this crew was that, you know, it was a father and son crew, and they were based in the West Burbs. But then they had this brewmaster, Grant Johnson, who won 16 medals at the Great American Beer Fest. He won them at a brewery in California, right? The name escapes me. But, you know, he came on and you've got this award-winning brewmaster. You've got this literally a historic location, a landmark location. And for some reason, you get out the gate really slow, right?
Yeah.
Then most around 2012 or so, most Chicago breweries are at capacity. So when folks looking to break into the market and contract brew, Argus is one of the few places you could actually go and brew your beer. So then, like we said, you know, Beta Brow, Fire Rabbit. And then things start to change a little bit. And then they get Mary Pelletieri, who I believe is like a microbiologist that has roots at like one of the big boys. I want to say like Miller Coors.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, she came in and started to clean things up. And that's when we did the interview with Nick Lubo, the brewery historian. How many breweries have a brewery historian?
Right.
And then you started to see like, okay, this is a completely different program now. Yeah. And then that Rona. That goddamn Rona.
It got him. not, you know, not literally, but the effects of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that sucks. Hey, but cheers to those guys, man. I think they made, English IPA, like we talked about Pegasus, but then, you know, they made a beer for the Tuskegee Airmen that I believe, President Obama, when he came down to to designate Pullman as a national park. Yeah. That the famous story is that he left with a case. He instructed Air Force One, don't leave until I get a case of this.
Right.
Argus. Right. And then
the pills, I forget the name of it, but the pills is great, or was great. I don't know.
The Pasky pills.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was cool. I think I'm gonna rerun all the stories we did in a nice little thread out just to say farewell to Argus, man. I've had some fun times with those boys, man. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, was that the crew you went to Brewers Conference with in Oregon?
Yeah, that was actually Beta Brown. Went with Sam. Was Sam from Beta Brown. He was going through his health kick, so we're walking, 20,000 miles a day. I got on cowboy boots, He's got that weird beard that kind of connects all, like something out of 1974.
Yeah.
but yeah, I remember I lived in the South Shore for maybe 4 or 5 years, and the closest brewery to my apartment in South Shore was Argus. So, I'd wake up on after doing a brew bus, I'd wake up on like a Saturday morning, and the Argus boys would be like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Man, I just got up." They're like, "We'll be there in 10 minutes. Get dressed. We're going to a beer fest." And then, I shower quick. I hop in the Argus van, and, I got like a little Mexican straw hat. And then all of them have a Mexican straw hat on, And then before you know it, there's no seats in the back of the Argus van because it's all for kegs. So I'm sitting in the corner doing 90 up to Barrington for a brew fest to pour with those guys. Same thing at Union Station. Or, same thing at Dirty Nelly's out in Palatine, I just kind of always tagged along and it's had a good time with those boys. So,
yeah, I think they're going to be missed by quite a few people, especially being, that 10-year mark. We have talked about it before. There's not that many breweries that had reached 10 years in Chicago. And, people may not have given them the credit they deserved for that 10-year mark. They weren't.
Where were we? We were at the JMO. Yeah. We were at the JMO Rev event.
Josh Deeth.
Josh is a trip, man. I think I was talking about this today because, it started when Josh was like, technically Half Acre's about to be 10, but that first year they were brewing Lincoln Park. Well, I grew up in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So they're 10 years old as a crew, but they hadn't been brewing in Chicago for 10 years. I'm like, that's a good point. And then his second point was, if you talk about 10 years, don't forget about Rock Bottom, because Rock Bottom easily gets lost in these 10-year conversations. And then after that, I'm like, oh, yeah. And I just went to an Argus party on a boat, and they're 10 years old. He's like, no, they're not. No. And I'm like, I can argue with Josh Deeth at his party, but I'm like, it's just funny. Like, he's like, nah, they're not 10 years old. Like, all right, cool. That's cool. It was funny though.
So it said in the article that Argus, most of it was kegs and on-premise sales, but then they were starting to see that shift to bottles and cans and whatnot. There must just not have been the market in Pullman to even buy enough to like maintain some level of like, okay, we can, we're not making what we need to make, but we're like getting by. Like,
yeah, I think one time we went down there and they were talking about like, a huge part of what they do is service the Southeast side.
Okay.
A part of Chicago. Well, I've been living in Chicago my whole life and I actually didn't know about these little pockets, Avenue M through Avenue P that run deep south of like, if I'm along South Shore, by the time 87th Street comes up, I'm like, that's the edge of the city for me. But the city actually runs from 87th down to like 111th Street over.
Yeah.
And all those bars over there, they would service it. If I was guessing, I would say like they had kegs that were going to those bars. And I think a lot of their bottles were probably going to a lot of these on-premise accounts too.
Okay.
Right? I think that's probably the difference, right? Because like you said, man, we never, I mean, I fuck with them personally, and I like the space. I like this because I love the story. I love Chicago stories. But if you were north of Soldier Field, you kind of never really saw their stuff.
Right.
Like, I think, what was it? Because of the record label, you saw it at Big Star.
Oh, right. We were joking that was the only place that had it on tap.
And we would joke that the only place you could find Argus on tap is Big Star. I mean, North.
North, yeah.
So,
and where we talk about, you know, on the North side, supporting these, like, local breweries, we don't often say, like, we're talking about these North side ones a lot more than the South side ones, or especially when you're, like, sheltered in place, you're like, well, I'm not going to always drive out to the suburbs now that, like... You know, I want to make sure my local spots get a little more love, but, you know, it gets hard when you're out in Pullman where, I don't know, a lot of people probably aren't, like, walking around or even over there, like, being like, oh, yeah, let's buy this local brewery. I love those guys.
Yeah, or if you do, it's not enough to keep the brewery open.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sucks. The first time I was on, a couple more notes about Argus, first time I ever boarded the Columbia Yacht Club, which is a stationary boat. It's tied to the pier or off Randolph and the lake.
Mm-hmm.
It was with those guys, because that's where I met the Vaderbrug guys at that club. It's like a club that those guys were a part of. And that's where they threw their 10-year party. The Argus Lager, World Beer Cup bronze back in 2016. And then partying on this boat, and kind of always reminded me of partying with them, because the only times I'd ever been on the boat was with those boys, like three or four times. Jared Payton brewed a beer with those guys.
That's right.
The Argus All-American Wheat, which was something I remember. But mostly I remember them being really a crew that kind of tapped in, that brought back to life Golden Prairie after it had a run, but then Golden Prairie died. They brought it back, and then they were successful enough to, you know, actually land in places like Hopleaf with some of the output from Golden Prairie recipes, which was a craft brand that kind of existed just before craft took off. So late 90s, early 2000s. Yeah.
I don't know. Vaderbrug, and now these guys trying to, like, revive these old brands. It's not, doesn't have a good track record right now.
Yeah. Cause who else, we know that, I've seen more restaurants close. I think Peace is on hiatus, and definitely that's a brewery. But other than that, I've seen restaurants close.
Oh, like close. Like that's right, like, we're done.
Right, like Honey Butter Fried Chicken, or we talked about.
They did. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Honey Butter's gone. Not gone. They said they're closing definitely, though.
Oh, indefinitely. Not like we totally quit, like shut down.
I don't know. What does indefinitely mean? You know.
I don't. Well, you said Kuma's shut down indefinitely because.
Shut down indefinitely. Fat Rice. Mm-hmm. Restaurants are closing. I haven't really heard much about breweries officially announcing they close. I imagine this thing comes back. They own the building. It's they own the brewery. I imagine this thing comes back. I imagine it's going to be a Lagunitas Tide House.
Oh, like. But yeah, I worry if they're having a hard time. I worry about people that have those big spaces like Five Rabbit Moody Tongue. You know, got into that spot on a fine dining basis, and their beer is not, it's in stores, but no one's picking that beer up.
If you have to, yeah. If you remove the experience of enjoying that beer where it was made, it changes the dynamic for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Those crews probably more so than others. Those two in particular. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I bet, you know, the space where Twisted Hippo is, you know, that's had its problems. But I bet they're doing pretty well now with locals and pickup and to-go orders and people probably wanting to support them up there. Maybe not as much as they would like, but probably not terrible for them.
They got food too. Yeah.
Aeris space is giant. I wonder what that costs. And Aeris has no, you can't even buy their cider or beer off like at the store. I haven't looked up Aeris. I should look that up, see if they're doing like crawlers or to go stuff.
I'd definitely get a crawler cider. The blueberry cider with the mosaic hops that Aeris does. I'd definitely get that. And some of those they got the vegan barbecue joints, the vegan barbecue tacos. I'd definitely get that.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to look that up. See what they're up to. It's hard out there.
But yeah, man, cheers to Patrick and Bob Jensen. Cheers to my man, Nick Blubovich, the brew historian. I've had a lot of fun times with those guys, man. That was a good run. They should hold their heads high. I mean, in hindsight, of course, there was the Millennium Park thing is something you probably should have focused on. But, you know, hindsight, we all could have done some shit better in hindsight. A 10-year run is a hell of an accomplishment. They should be proud of a 10-year run. In Chicago proper, all the oldest breweries are in the burbs. In Chicago proper, a 10-year run is something you should, you know, you should be proud of.
So. Yeah, definitely. So cheers to those guys. We don't have any of their beer to drink currently, but I'm sure at some point I'll be drinking out of that mug, the Oktoberfest Stein. Especially now, did you see this? That we have to that there's no Munich, there's no Oktoberfest.
I did see that.
So like if Oktoberfest can't make it, there is no hope for any of us.
The this COVID-19 is you know, we're the cuckold, and COVID-19 is pounding our old lady right in front of us. You know, this sucks.
Yeah,
it sucks.
I don't really have any contacts, but I'd love to talk to someone like in Germany or Europe and wonder what their like off premise beer consumption is, because like Oktoberfest, like the amount of kegs that they go through is like insane. You're not buying, you know, I don't think people are buying as much beer to drink at home as Americans do. Like cans and bottles aren't, I don't know, they're much more of a thing here than I believe other places.
But. Yeah, the that's the largest beer party is in Munich over 2 weeks, right? Like 6 million people, something like that. But then the second largest beer fest is also in Germany, in a smaller town. But yeah, these are gigantic parties. I wonder, I'm kind of curious to know too. Like, I know, yeah.
It's so much beer that, you know, just won't be made, or I'm sure they hadn't started it yet.
Yeah, what do we do, man?
I don't know.
What do we do?
We just carry on, I guess. that's all we can do. Stay home and carry on. You've got enough bourbon to make it, you know, a long while.
Yeah, man, and try to get out and support the curbside. You know, I will commend, the Maplewood and the Half Acre crew, they made it a point to get out of the way, give you your 6 feet. And you know, I can't say that about everybody, but those two crews in particular did. So,
and I know Alarmus has, you know, they will like, I think you can pop your trunk and they will put it in there, so you don't even have to see them or touch them or anything, get close at all. So,
I like that. Up at Lakefront up in Milwaukee, they closed to the public, but then they had 3,000 healthcare professionals show up, and they offered six packs of something called the River West Stein, and then they gave away beer to healthcare workers.
Oh, nice.
Front line. Yeah. So cheers to them.
Still a lot of stuff happening. You know, it's always nice to chat and go over these, and like, I, you know, stuff I didn't know about, stuff you didn't know about. It's nice to get that information out there. You know, you gotta talk about other things besides, you know, vaccines and what's happened with COVID, and yeah.
Wrong. Everybody's retirement package is all fucked up because the stocks are all fucked up.
Yeah.
They're coming back, though. Those stocks are coming back. Oh, but yeah, this week was the fifth anniversary of the Craft Brewers Conference being held in Portland, Oregon.
It would have been, right?
Yeah, it was. It happened 5 years ago this week. Okay. The Portland version.
Oh, okay.
So it was noteworthy for me because that was the last time I went to one. But then also, you know, the symposium beer that you have mm-hmm. every year to represent that. That's a every other year conference. No, that's every year. World Beer Cup's every other year.
Every other year, yeah.
Every year there's a symposium beer.
There's no – was there a World Beer Cup this year? Or would there have been a World Beer Cup?
It's okay. Really.
Jeez. Are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Would there have been a World Beer Cup? Is it World Beer Cup year? I think it would have been, right?
San Antonio.
Yeah, and that's – I don't even know how that's going to happen.
A lot of the beer that was sent to San Antonio for judging got redistributed to distilleries, and they're going to make hand sanitizer out of it.
Oh, nice. Okay. That's good.
I think the Craft Brewers Conference, they kind of coordinated that.
Awesome.
Okay. Oh, but I brought up the Portland thing because I remember in 2010, the Chicago, and we talk about that all the time, where it was a symposium ale, was like a blend of these ales, these barrel-aged ales, mm-hmm. right? And then, but for the Portland one, they had no less than six symposium ales.
Everyone needs one. Everyone has to like do their own, right?
Yeah, there was a Berliner Weiss, a Northwest Amber Ale, a Northwest IPA, something called the Imperial Blitz, whatever the hell that is, a Goza, and a Cascadian Dark Lager. Yeah.
All right.
So I tune into those all the time, and that's the only time I've seen a town said, you know, yeah, we need six beers to welcome everybody. So that was...
All right. Not bad. Yeah. Cool. Well, I think that's going to do it for this episode. You know, some beer and bourbon adventures, saying farewell to Argus. And yeah, we're going to get out of here. Hopefully we hear back from some of our guests. There might be, you know, more episodes this week, or, you know, we'll get those set up for next week. Who knows? I don't know. We got nowhere to go. So why not record podcasts?
This is true.
Yeah, you only got you can keep watching the parts of the Michael Jordan documentary, you know, over and over again. You got 8 parts to go, right?
Yeah, I think part 3 is the Dennis Rodman ep.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I don't know about part 4.
All right. That's, yeah, cool. Well, Nick, if people want to get in touch, see your bourbon collection, how can they see that?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD, Chicago Beer Pass, Chicago Beer Pass. We have not been posting as many photos on Instagram. You can only find so many places to take a photo in your house that all look the same after a while. But, you know, we're drinking Chicago beer, drinking local, so we'll keep sharing photos there and, you know, just spreading the love. And we'll be back soon with another episode. Take care.
Cheers.